Welcome to this edition of the Million Dollar Mastermind Podcast. This is where we pick the brains of high achievers from all walks of life and get their hard-earned, real-world insights on winning. I'm your host, Larry Wydell. Now let's talk about how you got your, talk about some of your first big breaks in the, it's one thing to start a business, be able to make a living, is get paid. Hey, we got paid. But then when you make, you get some big breakthroughs, it's like, hey, we could be big at this. It's not, we could just, you go beyond, we could be successful at this. We could be big at this. We're getting some really powerful recognition clients. Where did some of those big breakthroughs occur for you in that, what'd you say, 9 years of that stage?
Yeah. So it's interesting. I can pick three or four clients, which were moments for us. And I recognize a business on moments. I don't really look at time. I look at stages, and individual clients kicked off the new stage for us. So there was one, a very early one, we did a lot of free work for like these bloggers. And this blog, one blogger just took off. She just became unbelievably famous. It was one of the most visited websites in the UK. And that wasn't really anything to do with us. That was a huge break for us because we'd done nothing beyond build the infrastructure and done a little bit of the marketing. But actually, it was all her who kind of blew up. But she absolutely blew up. Everyone saw our website and we started to get huge inundates from brands saying, oh, we really admire this person. And that was our first big break because it was our transition from like small blogging, small businesses to first proper businesses who wanted to kind of work with us. The next one was a brand called Bugatti. So that's obviously a famous car brand. For us, that was a really iconic moment because we beat out a lot of these big players. We kind of established, we were always like the sort of the young agency sort of scrapping for it. And that's the first time we went up against the big agencies in the UK, and we absolutely wiped the floor with them. Because I think you get to a point where if it's a huge opportunity for you, it's less of an opportunity for people who are a lot bigger than you. And that's your opportunity, right? You can take it more seriously. You can put more hours in. You can make a lot bigger effort. And so for us, I think our big breaks were recognizing those moments where you say, oh, if we got this one, that's a new level for us. That's where we really sort of go into this next sort of stratosphere of what we're aiming for. So I think for us, it was two or three clients along the way that sort of symbolized a moment where from there we grew very, very quickly or had a huge growth spurt off the back of that client, because we're always very good at leveraging wins into new business. And that was one of the few things that we did quite well. There were many things we did terribly, but that was one of the few things we did really well, was leveraging our success to kind of build on that and go bigger and better the next year. And so I think for us, that was one of our big moments for sure.
It sounds like you found that the extra effort you put into the preparation showed up, that the client, when you did your presentation, they could tell who was taking this more serious than the next person. And that's really an advantage an up-and-coming firm has that you don't think about, do you?
Yeah, I think there's two things I always say to people when I go into these meetings. Is one is people really care. If you've made an effort, that goes a hell of a long way because people can feel it, they can see it. And if they feel like that you're taking them seriously, it makes a huge difference as opposed to someone who lazily puts something together. It feels very templated and things like that. The second thing is how much they like you. It really does make a difference. I always say this to people in the sense of how you make people feel carries a hell of a lot of weight when it comes to business decisions. Like you think it doesn't, you think every company goes, we have an amazing procurement process. We always make these decisions on X, Y, and Z factor, but it is amazing how much it comes down to. I just get a good feeling about these people. I like these people. And it could be the most technical, scientific decision that with all the templates, and I've sat in those meetings and people fill out forms on whether this company's good and they give them a mark and a score. But it is amazing how much it comes down to how do you make people feel about you. And if you get people excited about something, if you get people feeling good about it, that carries a hell of a lot of weight in business because it's a personal relationship, even for these big tech digital companies.
I think that's a big point, Ben, that they're big companies, but they're people at big companies and relationships matter. So much of business and life is who's likable and who's not. It's like who gets the job, who's elected, who are the voters going to... First sort you can do is like who's the most likable candidate? And maybe they're both dislikable, but you say who's the least dislikable. But you know that those people, those relationships, those likability, it's amazing how that comes down to something as basic as that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing, but it also kind of makes sense because these relationships, you talk to these people a lot. If it's a big client or a big piece of work or a big project, you have to talk to people a lot. And so people are sitting there going, if I'm going to spend the next 6 months of my life talking to this person 2, 3, 4 times a day, why not pick the person who makes me laugh or I quite enjoy or I find quite interesting or I find quite easy to talk to or all those sort of things? So it makes complete sense when you actually break it down, even though it sounds wild when you say these massive, because a lot of companies are quite faceless, right? They go, oh, it's BT won this account or whatever it might be. But actually, people make those decisions. People find you, exactly like you say. So yeah, I mean, it kind of makes complete sense. So I always say, like, never underestimate just building a nice relationship with someone, because God, that above that gets you quite a long way.
What did you learn about business and being a success in business as you got exposed to bigger and bigger and more successful companies? Did you notice things about how they went about their business and find things that you can incorporate or that inspired you?
Yeah, I think the trick when you're, so it's amazing how often you see an entrepreneur, he starts a business, it goes very well, it gets to a certain point and the company just stalls. And you know why it stalls. It's always the entrepreneur and it's always the founder because they've not let go. I think the delegation element for us was absolutely key, because we realized very quickly on, there are some things we were very good at, some things we could manage to do, and some things we were just awful at. And the best thing we can do is to hire people to do those bits we're awful at and to delegate so you can focus on the next level. And so for us, like getting, I remember there was a year where we stalled a little bit, and it was because we were trying to do everything and we were a bit worried about investing in the future and we were sort of holding fire and hiring a few key positions. And then we just thought, no, this is ridiculous. Let's take a slight hit. Let's hire to these positions. Let's focus on growth. And we had our best year ever. So the delegation element for us, I just can't overemphasize how important it is, and recognizing you can't do everything. You're certainly not good at everything. And if you allow yourself to be a bottleneck, that's the quickest way to stall a business.
When did you co-found Gaia, the green technology company?
So I co-founded that. So I sold my business in 2021. I had a 2-year earnout where I worked for the company who bought us for 2 years. And so I founded Gaia at the end of last year. So we launched formally, end of last year.
Now this is a software company, is that right?
It's a green technology company, which is a completely new space for me. So my first business, luxury digital marketing, my new business, green tech, it's very different. But for me, it represented an area I find absolutely fascinating, because green tech is one of the most fraught, like politicized, argumentative spaces you can be in, or certainly the green side, not the technology side. And so for me, I found the whole input, and I find the arguments that people have around these conversations completely flawed. And I really do. I think there's way too much pressure on the consumer. And I think there's nowhere near enough pressure on governments to make these decisions, because it's very easy to go, oh, businesses are evil and they're just ruining the environment. And I go, well, hang on, it costs a lot of money to just change things voluntarily. That's just not how anything works. The second thing I say is, everyone always goes, oh, why is the CEO not just prioritize the environment? I said, well, if he did that, he'd be fired by the board of directors by lunchtime. So you can't just do that. It has to come from government and it has to be sustainable from a financial perspective. But the argument I really dislike is, I've never understood this logic of, oh, you either pick the environment or financial success. There's obviously a space in the middle where you can make something sustainable work, but also make it a financial success. So we set up Gaia to essentially fulfill the promise where governments roll out new climate and green laws and regulations, and we build products that allow companies to achieve those rules and regulations. So we're a SaaS-based business. We've got a couple of different products. But yeah, it's a really interesting space. I've had a lot of arguments with a lot of different people around. It's a very heated discussion. And I'm sort of circling the middle, sort of trying to herd cats into the center to kind of recognize that everyone's kind of arguing about the same thing, but everyone's so impassioned about it that no one's really listening to each other.
How do you evolve from those involvements to where you've developed such a big voice for become a champion of the younger generation in the workplace, where you have such a wide following of 500,000 people across a variety of platforms talking about companies, managers, making money the right way? How do you go from that kind of background to that kind of influence?
Yeah, so it started off, I was starting to see some real, so I'm obviously, my first business was digital. I'm fairly abreast of the social platforms. I understand how they work. And I was seeing this weird trend of bad business advice. And I thought, you know, obviously, hypocrisy of me saying this whilst on a podcast, but I think the sort of podcast approach to business damaged things, where people realized that instead of, basically what happened was a huge raft of people decided that instead of doing the hard graft and actually starting a business and making it a success, you could just rent a podcast room and pretend you've done it. And you start throwing out these sort of weird business advices. And there's a group of people in particular who were just offering this really poor advice, but they had hundreds of thousands of followers. And so it starts off quite accidentally. I would just like re-watch some of these videos and just react to them and explain why they were wrong, basically. And it kind of built from there. And then people were starting to message me about their like work bosses, and they complain about their work and their bosses. And for me, when the more people you have, the more important like motivation is. And for me, I've always genuinely believed that if people like their job, if they're motivated, if they've got a vision, if they've got good leadership, if they're kind of up for it, if they're paid competitively and all that sort of thing, your business does better. It just does. But it's amazing how companies think, and companies agree with me, but then still go out of their way to kind of, in a really basic way, hack off their team through some really basic mistakes. Like, and we're talking some big hitters as well. I heard this amazing one where one of the big four firms here in the UK had a big pay rise. They gave all their juniors a pay rise, and the partner who announced it said on the call, "I don't think you deserve it, but here's your pay rise. I mean, obviously you're just, the only reason we're doing this is because we have to because of the market, because I don't think you deserve it at all." And you think, my God, you've just unmotivated a whole team by giving them a 20% pay rise. That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. Like, what are you playing at? And so I just started to read out some of these stories and explain why I thought they were wrong, what I think a business should do. And I do try to, I think people think I just like hate bosses. Like, I don't hate bosses. I just hate bad bosses, because I'm a big believer in, and it's amazing, I sit in front of these managers and I say, "Do you think people do better work if they're happy or if they're not happy?" And they go, "Happy." I go, "Then talk me through these last four or five decisions you've made, because it looks like you're actively trying to make them quit." So I'm always a believer of give people a good environment, because I think it's the right thing to do. But I also am a big believer in that genuinely helps your business, because I've run a company with a motivated team, and I've also run a company which had unmotivated team in stages. And let me tell you, it was a hell of a lot easier when they were motivated and up for the fight, really.
Thanks for listening to the Million Dollar Mastermind. If you felt there were any valuable takeaways from this episode, please take a minute and leave us a 5-star review. Your feedback is important and really helps us get the word out to a wider audience. Remember, we have a valuable webinar that is absolutely free. Register for it right now at whitealarmwinning.com. Thanks for listening.